This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. The origins of Metro Detroit's Yemeni community go back more than 100 years. There are more than 30,000 people living in Michigan right now who trace their family roots back to Yemen. Many of them are in the Hamtramck area. Some are closer to Dearborn. The protests winding through the streets of many Michigan cities have a decidedly different flavor in places with large Arab American communities. That was certainly true in Hamtramck. We wanted to hear a bit more about it, so we're joined now by Brian Stone, English language editor for the Yemeni American News, based in Dearborn. Brian, welcome to Stateside.
Thank you for having me.
It sounds like the first Yemenis who came to Michigan came for pretty much the same reason a lot of other people came here, to work in the factories. Would you say that's true?
It's true, but with a little bit of unique flavor and spice. The actual first Yemeni Americans who came here were ordered to do so by the British ambassador, who was in charge of Yemen at the time. Henry Ford asked for a couple hundred workers, and he asked the British ambassador to Yemen for it, and they sent the workers over. Those were the first Yemeni Americans to come to Michigan that we know of. Ford was so impressed with their work ethic and just how hard they were working in his factories that he called the ambassador back and said, "I want more." And that's how the journey started.
Yeah, there's an apocryphal story that I know makes the rounds in Yemeni American circles about Henry Ford meeting with a Yemeni sailor, but it sounds like there was a bit more practicality than prose to it at the end of the day.
Yeah, he needed workers for his factories. And I think that what he found is something that I think most people in Dearborn would agree with, that Yemeni American character is one defined by hard work and just honesty and a real willingness to get things done. And so that's what he discovered. And he really started that migration because of how he felt about those Yemeni workers.
Can you track for us what has happened in the decades since then, how the pattern of Yemeni movement to America has worked out?
For most of the last century, the Yemeni community in and around Dearborn has primarily been sort of like a guest workership, but not quite the same, where a lot of people were coming here, they would work at the factories, and they would get full citizenship, and then their families would get full citizenship. But men were primarily the ones who were here, while many of the women and families stayed in Yemen. Many of them maintained this dual citizenship. It passed on through generations. And there was an increase as there was more civil strife in Yemen throughout the years. You know, so there were some migrations that happened where more and more people were coming here for permanent residency. And the real first explosion sort of happened actually in Hamtramck. What we've seen is that in recent years, with the civil war in Yemen that started a few years ago, what's really happened is that so many Yemeni Americans who were already American citizens, but many of them just living, their extended families were living in Yemen still, they've sort of rubber banded and snapped back over to the United States for safety. And so what, you know, was estimated by some groups to be 4,000 to 5,000 Yemeni Americans in Dearborn has ballooned. And most people think that it's easily between 15,000 and 20,000 Yemenis in Dearborn now, and then a large number making up maybe a third to 40% of Hamtramck. And so these migrations happened in part because people were already citizens and they really valued that U.S. citizenship, but they also kept close ties with Yemen. And so this latest big migration was not like what we've seen with Syrian migrants, where they've had to apply for refugee status and whatnot. Although there are many Yemenis who don't have legal status, or at least don't have citizenship yet, who have got what's called temporary protected status because of the war in Yemen. But the majority of the people who came here were already U.S. citizens.
What's the situation at the moment? I was under the impression that Yemenis were part of the group that was not even allowed into the United States today due to the Trump administration's set of rules inaugurated back in 2016.
Well, this is sort of a mixed bag. So there has been some migration, but it's because many of these people are already U.S. citizens. So it's, and then there's, you know, sort of extended family that's already here and things like that. And so temporary protected status was renewed in the last couple of years. And so that has allowed people who were here who didn't already have citizenship or maybe a green card to stay, at least until things have resolved inside Yemen. But I think what's most likely to happen is we're going to have a more permanent residency for those members over time, and that they'll be eventually gaining citizenship.
Would you say that there's anything that sets Yemeni Americans' lives apart from what some other Arab American Michiganders have found in their lives here?
Yeah. And, you know, this is a great question because the Yemeni community is a distinct community that really deserves to be looked at in its own right. And often umbrella terms like Middle Eastern or Arab American are used, and it really papers over the things that are specific and unique and special about the Yemeni community. And so there are some things that even within the Arab community make the Yemeni community stand out. So one of those things is that there's Yemeni culture and Yemeni food, which is very different from what most people are used to finding at quote-unquote Middle Eastern restaurants in Metro Detroit or Michigan, which actually follow more along the Lebanese style of cuisine. And so Yemeni cuisine has more spices and bigger, bolder flavors. You know, Yemen is sort of right between the rest of the Middle East and Africa. And it really is a transition point where you can imagine spices from India, spices from Africa, all traveling through. And then the many unique spices and different kinds of foods that come from Yemen, most notably for us as journalists, is coffee. So the word mocha, which is, you know, the word for coffee, comes from the port of Mocha in Yemen. So every journalist in America owes a big thank you to the Yemeni community.
And, no question.
And so it's something where we think about the Arab American community as a whole, but even within the Arab American community, there have been differences over time. The Yemeni community has established its own caucus within the Michigan Democratic Party, separate from the Arab American caucus, because they wanted to advance their own unique interests and ideas. And, you know, the character of the community is a little bit different because some of the different Arab communities aren't always as accepting of Yemenis. They have a very different dialect of Arabic, which makes it difficult for them to communicate with Lebanese folks sometimes or different Middle Eastern and Arabic speaking groups. And then also their skin is a little bit darker. And so there has been issues of colorism, even between the Arab American community, where Yemeni Americans are sort of looked down on and treated differently.
If you're just joining us, my guest today is Brian Stone. He's English language editor for the Yemeni American News. In the past couple of weeks, as we mentioned, Yemeni Americans have been marching in Hamtramck in concert with the civil rights group Detroit Will Breathe. What were some of the concerns that the marchers wanted attention for?
Yeah. And so first of all, I have to give a shout out to our Yemeni American News reporter, Simon Albaugh, who did the report. And he did such a great job covering the protests. And one of the things that we're seeing evolve from the Black Lives Matter protest movement in general is not just the idea of sort of demilitarizing the police, but also demilitarizing the country, moving resources away from foreign wars into domestic needs within the African American and minority communities. And one of the things that's an ongoing situation is that the United States continues to provide large sums of weaponry, bombs, missiles to Saudi Arabia, as well as aircraft and other equipment, which is then used in Yemen to bomb the civilian population. And so there is a real feeling within the Yemeni community that the United States could do more to create peace in the civil war situation. And that is where these two groups have really combined. Why spend money on bombs blowing up villages in Yemen when it could be spent building up communities here in the United States? And so these two groups really got together and found an affinity over this issue. And that's what the protests in Hamtramck were really about. It was about standing up for racial justice while standing up for justice for Yemenis here and abroad.
Is there anything in particular that we can say about Yemeni Americans as a voting bloc?
You know, Yemeni Americans are a bit more up for grabs between the two parties than most people really want to admit. Right now, with Donald Trump being president, I doubt we'll see very many Yemeni Americans voting Republican in the near future. But a lot of Yemeni Americans are successful business owners. They're very involved in medicine and science, engineering, and in IT fields. So there are a lot of Yemeni Americans that may be interested in a lower tax message or things like that. And so those are things where I don't think in the near future the Republican Party is going to have any kind of relationship with the Yemeni community. But over time, I think that opportunity is there. But for now, it's a really solidly Democratic community that I expect will be voting overwhelmingly Democratic. And that may or may not be why the post office in Hamtramck has had some machinery moved out.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Mayor Majewski in Hamtramck has been fighting on this issue alongside Representative Rashida Tlaib to try to get the equipment back. And, you know, Hamtramck is a tiny little town. It's, you know, there's a lot of people. It's an extremely dense city of about 30,000 persons, if I'm correct. You know, all of those individuals are living in a very small area, and it's primarily Bangladeshi, Polish, and Yemeni. And so these different minority communities are expected to vote Democratic. You know, many of them will be voting probably by mail in order to be safe in the pandemic. And there is a post office that many people walk to in Hamtramck. And so there's been a real concern about if this would be delayed because, you know, the mail doesn't necessarily just go straight from that post office over. You know, it could cause issues with Yemeni Americans exercising their right to vote.
So many things are putting pressure on small newspapers right now. And I know that the Yemeni American News is called the Yemeni American News, but it's evident from reading your coverage that you guys get to a lot of different issues around Hamtramck and in the community. What's it been like, you know, becoming more of a paper of record while at the same time serving what the community wants to know?
You know, it has been a real joy because I feel like as a newspaper, we're bringing back local news to Dearborn and Hamtramck and bringing back the kind of quality local news, in some cases, investigative journalism, in-depth articles, and just following the city council meetings, following the school board meetings. All of that is the important work of local newspapers. And, you know, with corporate strip mining of some local papers and the receding of local reporters and others, we've really become the newspaper of record for Dearborn and Hamtramck. We're writing for all of the community. And that's reflected in our coverage as well. We've hired and brought on Bangladeshi reporters to write about different stories involving the Bangladeshi community. Obviously, my name's Brian Stone. I'm a white guy. I'm writing for the paper. Mm-hmm. So we're really just trying to do so much to make this a newspaper that is relevant and current for everyone and to bring back local journalism to these communities that need it so much. And it's a great thing that the Yemeni community gets to lead the way in this when it's needed so much.
Brian, just one more question. I wondered how the Yemeni community has been affected by the pandemic in the past few months.
Really, one of the things to understand is that both for Muslim Yemenis and just Yemenis of all stripes, community is so important. Summer is a time for weddings and big family events. And of course, you know, for many Muslim Yemenis, the mosque is a place of healing and solace and peace. You know, not being able to gather together and hear the chant of other people's voices during prayer, not being able to spend time with family, it's been really hard on the Yemeni community. You know, we've seen in America, families are getting generally smaller. Most families are having two or less kids. Whereas in the Yemeni community, it's still big, it's still boisterous, and people want to get together. And so losing those bonds and connections, I think, has been particularly difficult during this pandemic. But to their credit, the mosques closed as soon as it was clear there was a pandemic, and they've really been a huge role in keeping the spread from happening. And so people are being responsible but it's hard.
Brian Stone is English language editor for the Yemeni American News. Brian, thanks for talking to us today.
Thank you.